What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Skerritt and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How about you?
Yep, I'm awesome. I have to apologize to the listeners for a long delay. We've been out for a few weeks, had some family issues, but we're back in the saddle, and I'm excited about this topic today because it's the first of our reviews of one of the 12 basic archetypes. And we've picked this one particularly because it's the archetype that Brand Archetypes is using.
Yes. One of our favorites. Well, they're all my favorite.
Yeah. Well, you can't. That's like having a favorite kid, right?
Right.
You just don't tell them.
Right. Exactly.
That's right.
Depends on the day.
That's right. So let's first talk about the big idea behind this specific archetype, the Explorer archetype, and we have a kind of a whole structure of what. How we're going to be talking about things today, what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to try to stay consistent in using the same structure with all of the archetypes so you kind of get the same flow, the same information, and you can compare and contrast them for your benefit if you're in the selection process. So the big idea behind the Explorer, and let's preface before I start, that some of the archetypes have two sides to them. Some of them actually even have three or four. We're kind of evaluating those sub-archetypes, and Amy's going to talk about the sub-archetypes here in just a second, but the big idea of the Explorer is to either seek out information, seek out new experiences, or to treat yourself to these new experiences. But it's the exploration process to explore new things that you have not experienced in life. And everybody, as human beings, we seek these kinds of things out. We yearn for them. We want to experience new things. Very, very few of us are agoraphobic and, you know, stick ourselves in a dark back room and hide ourselves away from the world. Most of us, we want to go out and experience these new things. So that's the big idea. And if your product or service would fit with this big idea, it's definitely worth listening on. So Amy, why don't you walk us through the more detail about the sub-archetypes?
Sure. Before I talk about the two couple archetypes we're going to explore today, I just wanted to throw out that sometimes people use similar words as an explorer, like the adventurer, pioneer, seeker, wanderer, individualist, pilgrim, trailblazer, and pioneer. So if any of those words are speaking to your heart or ringing true for you, those are words that can also be used in the same way that the word explorer is used.
And as I was listening to you read that list, and I've heard those all before, but I can't stop myself from thinking about the nuances and the subtleties behind each of those words and how I feel about those words. So the reason I'm pointing that out is, as a listener to this podcast, do that. Think about what we're saying, how it makes you feel, how it resonates with you, how does it strike with you internally, emotionally. And different parts of what we talk about today are going to resonate with you differently, but the kind of the overall picture, by the time we finish up, you should have a real good feel for what the Explorer is all about. And you should do that with each of our episodes for these archetypes.
Right. That's a really good point. For example, I said the word wanderer, which kind of is more low key, ambling about, taking your time, but still discovering new things. And then one of the other words was trailblazer, which, you know, connotates more of a intentional blazing a trail, getting out there, forging ahead kind of thing. So there's definitely nuances for sure. Yeah,
Trailblazer has a lot more energy to it than
walker. Absolutely. Yeah. So two of the main archetypes that we're going to be talking about are the explorer itself, which is seeking a new adventure and experiencing new things. And then the other part of that is what we like to call the butler. And so the butler part of the explorer archetype is if you were the butler business, you are serving unique needs to your clients and customers. You're making them feel special, and they are deciding to go with your products and services because they deserve it and because they want the best of the best.
Now, I personally don't have a butler. I don't know about you, Amy.
No, but I would take one if one offered.
Yeah. So I think that people, as soon as they hear the word butler, they think, oh, that's just for rich people. Well, that's kind of true, that there is a certain amount of expense when you're going out and buying a, let's say you're going to go buy a Mercedes. You're not buying that because it's super cost effective. You're buying it because you deserve it and you're willing
to
spend
it. It's a Mercedes.
That. Yeah, exactly right. You know, so that's the same thing with a butler. I'm not going to go out and hire a butler because I'm trying to save money. I'm hiring it because I want to be pampered. I want to feel tended to, right? And that's how your company should make people feel.
Right.
So let's talk about some examples. So I'll start with the explorer. I think it's pretty obvious, you know, when you're talking about physical exploration. And Amy, you said seeking new experiences and new things. So the first one that pops into my mind is the Jeep company. And there's a lot of automobile companies who use this archetype for the obvious reasons. You use a vehicle to go out and explore new things. And especially if your vehicle is like a Jeep, where you don't even have to be on a road. You can, you know, go up mud bogging and climb up mountains. And of course, that's what the Jeep commercials show, right? But also other outdoor products like Patagonia or Cannondale Bikes.
REI is another camping company.
Right. Volvo would be a good example of another automobile company. And some personal brands would be like Indiana Jones or Amelia Earhart, people who are physically going out, seeking new things, discovering new things, adventurers, explorers, right?
Yeah, those are some good examples. So for the butler example, which is about pampering yourself because you deserve it, a really good example, one of my favorites, is Starbucks. Yeah. So they're a great explorer archetype. And we often talk about how when you choose to go into a Starbucks because you want to pay that $6 for the latte to get the sprinkle of nutmeg and the special coffee you want served by a barista. You're going in there because it smells good and there's free Wi-Fi and the building looks a certain way. And so you're deciding, I deserve a Starbucks today. I want that special cup of coffee. And you're going to explore that option, where the opposite of that would be maybe going to like Dunkin' Donuts, where you just get regular decaf through the drive-thru and you're on your way. That's more like the neighbor archetype, which we'll talk about later. But that's the big difference there. Rolex watches are also a really good example of the butler. Again, kind of goes back to the Mercedes-Benz kind of thing. You're buying the Rolex to be flashy. And I know one of the requirements that Rolex has for the designs of their watch is that you should be able to tell the watch is a Rolex from across the room.
Right.
So there's that. Another example would be Baraboo, like luxury handbags, expensive different clothing lines.
Yves Saint Laurent.
Yeah, Yves Saint Laurent, things like that. Just, higher end products.
And when you were talking about Starbucks, I use the explorer neighbor contrast there as well, because Starbucks is kind of the classic example. That was the example that they used in the book, The Hero and the Outlaw. And if you were to compare and contrast it to an obvious competitor like Dunkin' Donuts, who is a very obvious neighbor archetype, you can point out that Starbucks doesn't do anything neighborly. I mean, the big wide counters and the brushed metals and the mahogany and the way that the interior decor, and even like the weight of the cups, you know, it's not a cheap, it's a paper cup for sure, but it's got specialty printing on it, and you got this big thick cardboard wrapper thing on it if you want, and it's more substantial. You feel like there's something more going on here than what you get at Dunkin' Donuts. And that feeling of specialness, and, you know, like what you said, the formulation of your Starbucks drink, it's, you know, you got all the nutmegs and the sprinkles and the half calf, decaf latte and the venti, the names of the drinks.
Right.
Where at Starbucks or at Dunkin' Donuts, you get regular and decaf, right?
Small and large.
Small and large, right.
What cream with that?
Right. Yeah, we'll definitely be talking more about the neighbor later. But
right.
So those are all really good examples. So why would we choose an archetype like this for our company, though? You're starting to feel what it means. We've given you some examples. Well, we thought one of the best things to do to get people to understand really thoroughly the decision making, the advantages. There's a business process for evaluating operational procedures and direction of your company and products. It's called a SWOT analysis, SWOT, and it stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So a lot of business people who are listening will think, oh yeah, I've gone through a SWOT analysis before. And it's clarifying because it kind of forces you to think about all the pros and cons and the benefits of what you're trying to evaluate. So let's go through a SWOT analysis here. Why don't you start with the pros, the strengths, Amy, for
sure.
The Explorer.
Absolutely. So for the Explorer, the things that make the Explorer archetype really stand out are experiencing things in a new way, in addition to experiencing new things in general. Okay. So if you want to stand out from your competition by being new or different than what they're doing, that would be a good advantage. They're open-minded. You have to be open-minded in order to want to try to experience new things and go out there and do that. Explorers are okay with risk, and they're sometimes or outdoorsy and rugged, like our examples of the camping companies, the Jeep, Cannondale mountain bikes, things like that. But not always, as we said, with the butler part of the Explorer archetype, like Starbucks. They're not outdoorsy necessarily. They do make people feel alive and special and ambitious and like they're really experiencing something that not everybody gets to experience. And they definitely convey that you deserve this. And you have they overcome price sensitivity. So they're able to charge more, basically, and because their clients feel like they're an exclusive sort of thing. So, you know, when you go into Starbucks, you're willing to pay $6 for a coffee, whereas at Dunkin' Donuts, it would be $1.50 or something for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I think that that last one that you listed, overcoming price sensitivity, I probably would have put that way at the top of that list because every Explorer that I've seen, whether it's an Explorer or a butler, they tend to be able to charge more because they're offering this unique thing to make the person feel special, to offer a new experience. People understand that's not the cheapest thing to do. And even if you're an Explorer sub-archetype, not the butler, you still have kind of this advantage. So I'd put that one way at the top. And who wants to battle other competitors on price? I mean, it's just a downward spiral to the bottom. So that's definitely a strength for this archetype.
Right. So we talked about some of the strengths. So why don't you tell us about some of the weaknesses?
Yeah. So the weakness of an Explorer of providing this higher end service or a more expensive service because you deserve it kind of puts you in a category of being too expensive or being seen as elitist. You know, like if you're going up against a neighbor archetype, you can portray yourself as, you know, being more exciting. We're going to talk about comparisons here in a little bit, but the neighbor would probably try to portray you as being like snooty, right?
Right.
Archetypes might try to portray you as being too risky or being obviously too overpriced. So as long as you understand that all of these things are kind of a two-edged sword, that you get strengths and weaknesses with taking any approach. And you just have to learn how to really embrace and push your strengths and learn how to counter the weaknesses and the as they come your way, right?
Right, right. So some opportunities that you would have using the Explorer archetype would be as if your competitor was trying to say that you were too overpriced, you could come back and say, well, we're worth it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So some other opportunities are people want thrills and they want to experience new things, and you're delivering that to them. It's not the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. You're able to show your products and services is truly unique, which was what people are looking for. And you're way less boring than some other archetypes. For example, the guru or the innocent archetype or the neighbor that we've suggested can seem kind of boring in comparison. And when we get to those archetypes, we'll talk about why boring can sometimes be good, and you can use that to your advantage as well. But in this instance, when you're the explorer, you are anything but boring.
Right. So that kind of leads to a threat. So if you have the opportunity of expressing yourself and being the exciting, you know, energetic, you know, awesome archetype, well, a threat is that if you don't deliver on that, then you're going to be seen as that you overpromised and under-delivered on your pitch, right? That if you are seen as not delivering something that's unique, you said that it's going to be unique, but it really truly wasn't, it's the same as everybody else, then that threat is that you kind of deceived them, or you were lying to them, right? So other things that would threaten this archetype would be conforming to the status quo, or being boring, or being too limiting, that, you know, this person that is trying to break out and explore new things, they don't want to be confined. They don't want to be limited. They want to just go for it, go for the gusto. So a threat is that if your product or service actually constrains them, you don't want that. Or the worst thing is just you're the same as everybody else. You're run of the mill. There's nothing really truly special about you. It's just all talk and fluff and blowing smoke, right? So those are the threats for the explorer. Yeah.
Those are all the things that you want to make sure that you don't do if you pick the explorer archetype.
That's right. So how do we take these ideas and incorporate them into our corporate culture? I mean, how do we launch this, Amy?
Right. So one of my favorite ways to do that, no surprise, is using words. So I have some favorite words that I associate with the Explorer archetype. And we also have what we like to call our word bank. So each one of our 12 archetypes, we have created a word bank for each one. It's basically a PDF document with its pages and pages and pages of words and phrases and things that we have come across over the years that we've used, that our clients have used, and that we've compiled them. And we have them for sale. They are $29.99. Or if you do a brand discovery session with us and you pick your archetype, you get that word bank as part of your brand discovery session. So we'll have some information about how to get those word banks in our show notes, or you can just contact us and we'll get that to you. But some of the words that I love are words that express like awe and wonder. So those would be words like breathtaking, majestic, picturesque, awe-inspiring. Things that you think you would say if you were looking out over a beautiful vista or mountain range or something like that. Mm-hmm. Physical exploration words like discover, explore, encounter, worldly, seek. Those are also really good. And of course, being grandiose or verbose in your words like glamorous, glittering, mouth-watering, deluxe, exquisite, radiant, or a masterpiece. And all those words kind of are still going along with that idea of this brand archetype is that you deserve this. So it's just the best of the best.
Right. So, you know, no surprise, Amy, that your strategy is very word heavy and word focused. But let's be clear, using the right words is the fastest and easiest way to infuse your messaging, your marketing, your content, your website, your everything. You know, how you answer the phone, how you talk to people, it's all words. And the idea of an archetype is trying to build an emotional connection, and that requires communication. and communications require words. So, it, you know, no surprise that you just threw out a whole bunch of really awesome words and that we have many, many, many hundreds of others in the word bank. Now, let's since this is really the first time we've talked about it in the context of an archetype, the word banks for each of the 12 archetypes, these things started like 14 years ago. And as clients have added new words, or we've discovered new ones, or we found that we really didn't like words, or our clients didn't like specific words, these lists have grown and have evolved over time. So these are many, many hundreds of hours in the making. And to try to recreate this on your own would take, if you're trying to build an explorer archetype and you thought to yourself, well, I can just go out and grab a whole bunch of words. Well, that's true. But you would not have the benefit of this evolution over time with the input from hundreds of people over the course of a decade and a half. So there's a lot of advantage to tapping directly into the word banks. Okay, so we have a lot of information that we've already thrown at everybody here, but an obvious question I think that most people will ask when talking about a specific archetype is, what happens if I choose an archetype that's the same as a competitor? And we would recommend that you not do that. And if you buy that and you say, okay, I get that I'm in the healthcare industry and I probably shouldn't pick the mother archetype because everybody else in the industry is a mother archetype. Okay, I'm going to be something different. Well, the next obvious question is, well, if I pick the explorer and I'm trying to go up against another archetype like a mother, what does that mean? And how do I do that? How do I implement it? So how archetypes interact with each other is super important. And every time we go over an archetype, we're going to talk about this. But we can't do, if we just went the 12 basic archetypes and you go 12 basic archetypes bumping up against 12 other basic archetypes, you got 144 combinations just with the basic ones, not including the sub-archetypes. So we're not going to go through 144 combinations here. So let's just talk about a couple. So let's dive into the individual sub-archetypes for the discussion. So let's talk about the explorer first, and let's just pick a couple. Let's talk about mother, since we already started that. If the explorer is seeking out new vistas and new exciting things, and there's a certain kind of scary risk to the unknown, and then you think about how a mother would feel about that, the mother might be too safe, and that the explorer is doing things that the mother wouldn't approve of, right? That mothers are comforting and nurturing, and they want everybody to be safe, where the explorer isn't that so much. So there's actually a really good contrast there. The innocents aren't willing at all to be risky. They're focused on safety and security. Very similarly, the neighbor, they're very predictable. They like familiar things. They want that safe comfort and security. And where a neighbor kind of frames its entire existence on this idea of trustworthiness based on familiarity, the explorer isn't really concerned about trustworthiness. They want people to feel like you're leading them to this new and exciting thing. And if there's trust, great, but that's not really germane. That's not necessary, because they're either going to follow you or they're not. Because if they don't follow you, they don't get the benefit of that new and exciting thing. And another quick one here for going up against the explorer would be the guru. Probably the biggest contrast, in that the guru is going to be focused on data and statistics and numbers and information and processes. Boring. Yeah, it's the opposite of the explorer. The explorer wants excitement, right? So you want to take a crack at the butler, the sub-archetype?
Sure. So if you decide that you're going to be the butler archetype, then again, remember, you're serving and you're giving them an experience. You're making people feel pampered and special. So if your competition was the neighbor's pretty laid back. They're not really exciting. There's no new experiences. And your neighbor certainly isn't probably going to come over and clean your house and cook a whole full meal for you, but they might grill out in the backyard and help you a little bit.
He'll loan you his Rolex, but he wants it back.
Right, exactly. probably won't let you drive his Mercedes. That's right. The innocent archetype is the simplicity. Again, sometimes that archetype is also called the angel or the innocent, and it's really low key, really simple, low energy. And if you're the butler, then the angel is just not going to be enough for you. You're going to need more. It's just going to be too low key. And then the hero is another archetype. And the hero is focused on leadership and making people feel like they can do anything and that kind of stuff. But the butler is going to be more focused on your self-interest and your needs and what you want, not what you're doing for other people, as in the hero archetype. So those are some ways that you can counteract what your competition is doing.
And one of the benefits of archetypes that I love, and in fact, it's probably the thing that I love the most about working with archetypes, is they are so easy to understand. And because the whole concept of brand strategy and brand development seems to most people like this really nuanced, kind of esoteric, kind of hard to understand, nebulous thing. And I get that. I get that. That's how it seems. But when you use archetypes as the focus, it simplifies everything. And so when I ask two people to do what we're doing right now, compare and contrast two archetypes, they feel like they're going to do something wrong, or they feel like this is too complex for them, their low skill level to be able to do this. But I point out to them that they already have both of these things inside them. They both are inside them very powerfully and deeply. They're inside all of us as humans. So it's actually a really easy process. So if I were just to randomly pick another, you know, archetype, let's say the jester. If I go up against a jester, then we're both super high energy, and I can start tapping into the differences between the two and what one's focusing on the other. And it's actually really easy. So even though we've given just a couple of examples here of the explorer or the butler going up against a handful of other archetypes, feel free to do this with any archetype. And as we get through our podcast where we cover all 12, you're going to have a lot more ammunition and a lot more understanding, a deeper understanding of the 12. So
that's a really good example. And one of the things that I really, really love about brand archetypes, I'm just going to throw this out there since you mentioned what you love about it, is that it really sharply defines what your brand is about, but almost as importantly, or maybe just as importantly, it defines what your brand is not.
Correct.
And I think that's really important too for people because, you know, for the example, like with the explorer, like you mentioned earlier, they're not so focused on generating trust. They're more focused on generating this experience and this excitement. And if trust happens to be part of it, well, great. But so you know that you're not really focusing on trust. It's one thing you're not worried about. Whereas if you were the neighbor or the mother, that's high trust. You are worried about trust. And so for people who are not marketing experts, they're more experts in the business that they're running. It makes everything a lot more clear. This is what we are going to do, and this is what we aren't going to do when it comes to marketing. And I think that that's really important.
And I think it's a really important point, Amy. Let me say it again, but slightly differently. When we're saying focus and defining what we are not, you gave the example of trust. We are not saying that trust isn't important to you. What we're saying is you're just not going to focus on it. That's like saying Nike isn't concerned about customer service. Well, of course they are. They're absolutely concerned about customer service. They're just not going to focus their brand on it in any way, shape, or form. It needs to come through somehow, somewhere else, like how the people in the stores interact with their customers. That's how customer service is going to come through. It's just not going to come through their brand strategy, and it's definitely not going to come through their marketing. Right.
They don't talk about it in their commercials.
Correct.
Okay. Absolutely. So we've been focusing on the differences in the archetypes and how they go up against each other. But, you know, there are archetypes that have similarities between them. And we just wanted to quickly point out some of them, too. And they're just very subtle nuances. So the outlaw is another archetype. And that also makes you feel alive and it's exciting and new things. And they take risks. But the difference is the whole I deserve part of it that goes along with the explorer. So where an outlaw would beg for forgiveness rather than ask permission, an explorer would grant themselves the permission in the first place to treat themselves. So that's one difference. The jester and the explorer are both high energy. They're bold. They're exciting. But the jester is just a little bit more crazy. They're a little bit more unpredictable. There's a lot more humor that goes along with the jester. But they still have that high energy, exciting new kind of thing going on. The mother archetype is, more focused on you're being cared for. But a mother also makes you feel really special, just like the explorer archetype is making you feel really, really special, like you deserve this. So there's a similarity there. And the hero, we talked a little bit about that. The similarity there is the boldness and the high energy. And then the lover, there's also similarity there because the lover is really all about passion. It's not necessarily just about sex selling. It can just be passion for anything that you do. And there's a lot of passion in people that enjoy the outdoors. So camping and hiking and Jeep people, Jeep life, hashtag Jeep life, that kind of stuff. So when you're passionate about something, you're really passionate about it.
Yeah.
And so that's a similarity there.
Yeah, this is really subtle stuff. When you start talking about slivers of an idea embedded in a specific archetype and how that compares and contrasts to another sliver of another archetype, and this is really subtle stuff, but when it comes down to it being conveyed in your marketing, you may find that that little sliver, that your awareness of it, makes or breaks the effectiveness of a marketing campaign. Just understanding that you are similar to this archetype over there, that's a competitor, and we're completely dramatically different than this other competitor over there, and you have that deeper level of understanding of why people are drawn to one versus the other, you now have the ammunition to go out and use that information to your own benefit. And your competitors, they see that you're doing something different, but they don't understand it. They see it, but they don't understand it. And so their only task or their only option would be to try to replicate it. And if they do, they're gonna dilute their own brand by flip-flopping and veering away from their own good brand strategy and trying to do what you're doing. And that's definitely good for you. If you can get your competitors to chase you and try to replicate you, they're gonna be doing it without a strategy. And that is definitely a benefit to you. And so understanding to this level, understanding these subtleties and these nuances is super important for the selection of any archetype.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're right. We've seen that happen. We want your competitors to chase you, chase your marketing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So does the explorer sound like you? Does it sound like something that you could embrace? Does it sound like stuff, some things and marketing initiatives that your company is already doing or something that you have a goal for doing? Are you wanting to make your clients feel special? Do you have something that nobody else has? Then maybe the explorer archetype is for you. So if you want to learn more about it, you can go to our website, brandarchetypes.com, and click on the Explorer tab and learn all about it. There's lots of good pictures. We cover some of the stuff that we talked about today. And then again, if you're interested in the Explorer word list, then contact us and we'll get that to you. We're working right now on adding the shopping cart to our website to do that. So for now, we can just handle that transaction personally. So you can message us through Facebook or through our website and we will get that to you.
Yeah, let me repeat before you head on out, because you said, if you have questions about the Explorer, you can call us. Another reason to call us is if you visit our website, remember at the very beginning of this podcast, we said that brandarchetypes.com itself is an Explorer archetype, which is why we picked this one first. So if you visit our website, let us know how you think we're doing. If you think that there's anything that is not fresh and exciting and, you know, exploring new ideas and learning new things, if we are not fully oozing the explorer archetype, we want you to call us on it, because you're part of our team. You know, none of us work in a vacuum. We all have clients and the customers and the affiliates and channel partners and all the people that we interact with. And Amy and I are not the only two people who are trying to make this happen. And getting your input is super important to us. So if you think that we're making a brand mistake of any type, let's say you know, I crank out a blog post and it's a little too gestury because that's my own personal kind of brand archetype. If you think I'm being too gestury and not explorer enough, call us on it. Absolutely. We have thick skins and we would love to get that input. So, Amy, I think this was a great starting session, and I'm looking forward to 11 more of these, and we're going to keep on this on a weekly basis. And what's our next one? Do we have one queued up? I don't think we do. Outlaw or Jester, I'm going to guess.
We can do Jester. Jester we can do next. That'd be great, yeah.
Okay. And because my agency has always been a Jester archetype, and Amy just went through a rebranding process for herself, and she is an outlaw. So I think that following up with the Explorer to dive into two other really highly energetic archetypes would be, let's keep the momentum up, right?
Sounds good.
Very good. So follow us on Facebook and contact us with questions, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Kevin.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.